This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Biden makes his case. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, June 3rd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Following recent mass shootings, President Biden is calling on lawmakers to do things like reinstate a ban on some rifles and raise the age to buy guns to 21.
Police in Oklahoma say among the four people killed by a gunman at a Tulsa hospital was the shooter's back surgeon following a recent operation.
In business, Microsoft cut sales guidance. Elon Musk reportedly told employees he has a bad feeling about the economy and wants to trim payroll.
And why it's hard to pull off a long summer weekend.
So staffing issues, COVID cases are spiking up, which can also contribute to staffing issues. There's also just high demand. So the flights are really full. There's a lot of people taking trips now. So if your flight does get canceled, it can be harder to get a seat on the next flight out because it's already booked.
Allison Poley at the Wall Street Journal has advice on taking a long weekend in the current environment. Police in Iowa say a man shot and killed two women in the parking lot of a church before turning the gun on himself, adding three more dead to the toll in a series of recent shootings. It happened outside Cornerstone Church, a fundamentalist Christian church east of Ames. Nicholas Lenny is a captain with the Story County Sheriff's Office.
There was a service taking place at the church while this happened.
In Oklahoma, police say the gunman who killed four people Wednesday at a Tulsa hospital had undergone back surgery there last month. Tulsa Police Chief Wendell Franklin says among those he fatally shot, his surgeon.
He blamed Dr. Phillips for the ongoing pain following the surgery.
In Racine, Wisconsin, multiple gunshots were fired into a crowd of mourners attending an afternoon graveside funeral, wounding two people. Police say one was treated at a hospital and released. The other was flown to a hospital in Milwaukee with more serious injuries. There were no arrests. President Biden says too many places in America have become killing fields, and he's ramping up his calls for legislation he believes will reduce gun violence.
More kids than soldiers killed by guns. For God's sake, how much more carnage are we willing to accept?
In a speech to the nation last night, Mr. Biden said he supports reinstating a ban on what he calls assault-style weapons, or failing that, raising the minimum age to buy a gun from 18 to 21, and banning high-capacity magazines.
You can be 18 years old and buy an assault weapon, even though you can't buy a pistol in Texas until you're 21.
Many of the proposals he cited have been rejected by Republicans and have no plausible path to passage. Before the speech, a White House official said that no decision had been made on whether Mr. Biden would travel to Capitol Hill next week to press lawmakers to approve gun-related legislation, or if he would allow the negotiations to play out among lawmakers. Meanwhile, the House Judiciary Committee has approved a package of gun control measures proposed by Democrats. Georgia Democrat Lucy McBath lost a son to gun violence 10 years ago.
I know that phone call. Parents across the country know that phone call. It's a sucker punch to my stomach every time I learn there's another phone call.
The measure would raise the legal age to buy a semi-automatic rifle from 18 to 21 and limit magazine sizes, among other things. North Carolina Republican Dan Bishop.
Let's redouble our efforts to identify those people who are mentally ill and make sure they don't have access to guns. Let's make sure violent criminals don't have access to guns. All of that regulation is 100% fine. I'm all for it.
At one point, Florida Republican Greg Stube, taking part by video, held up multiple guns to complain that their magazines would be banned under the bill. Texas Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee said, "I hope the gun is not loaded." Mr. Stube responded, "I'm at my house. I can do whatever I want with my guns." Coming up next, the new strategy from gun rights groups.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Gun rights groups that pride themselves on not compromising on gun control are preparing to mount an aggressive campaign against any red flag legislation in Congress as a response to the elementary school massacre in Uvalde, Texas. Such measures appear to be gaining some steam, like usual, as a potential compromise between Democrats and Republicans. More from Emily Brooks, House reporter at The Hill. Emily, explain.
Democrats who lead the chamber are pushing a number of gun control measures through. One of those is so-called red flag legislation, which is legislation that allows a judge to institute a protective order if somebody is deemed a danger to themselves or others and take away their access to firearms. And in the Senate, there are a number of bipartisan negotiators working on some kind of seeing if they can come to some kind of deal on legislation in response to these mass shootings. And one of the topics that is being most discussed is some kind of action on red flag laws, whether that is maybe encouraging red flag laws at the state level. About 9 states do have red flag laws. There have been mass shootings in some of those states that do have red flag laws, like New York with the shooting in Buffalo. But it is a pretty popular solution that people are exploring in response to these.
What do opponents of red flag laws say, Emily?
Well, we are expecting a lot of pushback from Second Amendment and especially these kind of no compromise gun rights groups, such as the National Association for Gun Rights and Gun Owners of America. The National Rifle Association is also against red flag laws, and they say that this is a violation of due process rights, that it's, you know, trying to determine that somebody has committed a crime before they've actually done it, and that it's a violation essentially of a Second Amendment right to own a firearm. And so we're expecting a lot of pushback from that. I talked to the president of the National Association for Gun Rights, who said that they're already planning their full attack plan on it. And it's pretty interesting because this has been something that gun rights groups have gone after pretty hard in recent history. Last year, the annual defense bill had a provision in it when it passed the House that would have implemented some kind of red flag provision for members of the military. And so a military judge could institute a protective order and take away weapons from personal weapons from military members deemed to be a threat to themselves or others. But these gun rights groups went very aggressively against Republicans who did vote for that version of the legislation in the House. And after that, there were there were 160 House Republicans who signed a letter saying that they did not want this red flag provision in the bill. And so that's a pretty strong sign that there's going to be an uphill battle on this particular topic, even if it does seem like one of the prime areas for bipartisan negotiation moving forward.
Mm. We're speaking with Emily Brooks, House reporter at The Hill. She's written a story called Gun Groups Ready for Aggressive Effort Against Red Flag Legislation. So you referenced the NRA. Everybody's familiar with that. The National Association for Gun Rights, the Gun Owners of America. These groups, I understand, are against new legislation in most cases. But do they have solutions or any ideas for how we can address these mass shootings?
Well, generally, what Second Amendment advocates, such as these groups, say is that there should be more security in schools. They very much believe that trained firearms owners who have a weapon are likely or able to stop bad actors who have going to perpetrate a shooting. And so those are more of the type of solutions that they advocate for. Their major argument is more focused on the rights argument, that these policies shouldn't be implemented.
You touched on it a little bit too, and that's the idea. Maybe it's kind of a separate argument that states should be in charge of doing this in terms of making these laws, not the federal government.
Yes, and that's something that has come up before. I think from what we've heard so far and what senators are negotiating when it comes to this, these red flag provisions, it wouldn't necessarily be instituting a federal red flag law where a federal judge could make a determination to have a protective order against somebody and take their firearms. It would be more encouraging states through some kind of mechanism to implement their own versions of red flag laws.
Thanks, Emily. Emily Brooks, House reporter at The Hill. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden last night laid out specific actions he wants Congress to take on gun control legislation, calling Republican congressional opposition to the measures unconscionable.
How many more innocent American lives must be taken before we say enough, enough?
Biden says lawmakers should reinstate the ban on assault weapons like AR-15s and a ban on high-capacity magazines. If those weapons aren't banned, the age to purchase them should be raised to 21 from 18. Biden says Congress should also strengthen background checks, including requiring them at gun shows and online sales, and enact safe storage and red flag laws and repeal the immunity that protects gun manufacturers from liability.
Number two.
Remarks from the White House came shortly before yet another mass shooting as a man shot and killed two women in the parking lot of a church in Iowa. Nicholas Lenny of the Story County Sheriff's Office.
We have confirmed that there are three deceased individuals. One of those individuals we believe to be the shooter.
The shooting occurred outside a fundamentalist Christian church east of Ames while a church program was going on inside. Another shooting on Thursday wounded two people attending a burial at a cemetery in Racine, Wisconsin.
Number three.
The U.S. and its allies are vowing to hold Russia accountable for crimes committed by its forces since they invaded Ukraine on February 24th. U.S. officials say they will support a broad range of international investigations into atrocities and hold Russia accountable for serious violations of international law. Tropical storm watches have been posted for Florida, Cuba, and the Bahamas as the system that battered Mexico moves to the east. The National Hurricane Center says the storm once known as Agatha in the Pacific Ocean will be known as Alex in the Atlantic. In Florida, the tropical storm watch extends from Longboat Key on the Gulf Coast across the southern Florida Peninsula. It all came down to the first ever lightning round tiebreaker.
Ornithorhynchus.
Ornithorhynchus.
Nyandabai.
Nandubay.
Moorhen.
Moorhen.
Spelling 21 words correctly during a 90-second spell-off, 14-year-old Harini Logan of San Antonio won the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Recognized for years as one of the best spellers in the English language, she had never taken home a national title until now.
What even was happening? What? I don't even know the words, and she's banging out the letters in less than a split second. Thank you, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. The best advice for taking a long weekend this summer? Make it longer. Or maybe don't do it at all. So says Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Allison, set the scene.
There have been a lot of flight issues, which people traveling over Memorial Day weekend might have run into. So for people who are trying to fly and take a quick weekend trip, they might find that their trips are getting unintentionally extended because their flights back have been delayed, or maybe cut short because they missed a day trying to get out to those destinations.
Wow. Okay, and this is all tied to what, like the staffing shortages at the airlines?
All tied to a bunch of different factors. So staffing issues, COVID cases are spiking up, which can also contribute to staffing issues. There's also just high demand. So the flights are really full. There's a lot of people taking trips now. So if your flight does get canceled, it can be harder to get a seat on the next flight out because it's already booked. Prices are also really high, which is making some people feel like the long weekend isn't as attainable. You know, you take a quick road trip, gas is expensive, hotel prices are way up as well.
Jeez. Do you reference in your story this guy from Mark Jackowitz? I think he was flying from Hartford, Connecticut to West Palm. To explain what he went through.
Yeah, so he, in early April, he got to the airport all ready to go to Florida to visit family and attend his granddaughter's second birthday party. But on his way there, he learned his Thursday afternoon flight was recanceled. Booked for the next day, he shows up to the airport again. It just kept getting incrementally delayed for 10 hours spent at the airport. Flight never took off. He was rebooked for late Sunday afternoon, but he had planned to leave Monday, so he called off the trip. Now, that was a JetBlue flight, and they say they've taken steps to address those challenges, and they reduced their summer schedule by more than 10% from their original plan to try to better accommodate, you know, the staffing levels that they have for the schedule.
Man, we're speaking with Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "The Summer Long Weekend Has Rarely Been This Hard to Pull Off." You referenced it earlier, but how come driving isn't always a fix here?
Yeah, so I talked to one traveler who rented a car and ended up getting a flat tire and had some issues with roadside assistance, so that delayed the trip. So that's a case of bad luck, unfortunately. But rental cars can be really expensive on weekends too. So in places like New York and Boston, where a lot of people rent a car to head out of the city for the weekend, the prices can be double what they are during the week. So for example, in New York, if you're looking at rental car rates for a couple weeks from now, it could be $175 a day, whereas if you picked it up on Tuesday, it could be $82 a day. So it's pretty pricey to take a car out and try to do a quick getaway.
I guess it's the million-dollar question everyone wants to know, but when might things get better or a little easier?
Yeah, so the airlines keep assuring travelers that they're going to get the situation under control. They're managing their schedule, which of course means people should look really closely at their flight itineraries because they might be changing as airlines swap out aircrafts and schedules as well.
Thanks, Allison. Allison Poley, travel reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Behind the headlines. Above the noise, you're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday, June 3. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. President Biden presses for gun control laws. Ukraine says up to 20% of its country now controlled by Russia. All three major stock index were up more than 1%. Ford says it plans to add 6,200 manufacturing jobs. Attorney Michael Avenatti gets 4 years in prison for stealing book proceeds from adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Veteran quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick retiring. Celtics top the Warriors in game one of the NBA Finals. And Colorado students rally to support a lonely sixth grader. That story in about 20 minutes. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Need hires who dazzle? Without the hassle, you need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The jaw-dropping headlines about job growth may be fading. We've enjoyed more than a year now of payroll growth north of 400,000 jobs per month, but at least one analyst says that streak is close to an end. We're joined by Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com, here to preview the May labor report due out today. Greg, what are we looking at?
We've had a lot of info with regard to the job market this week, and you know, kind of covering various points in time, April and May alike. But you know, the tune is pretty similar. This is a very tight labor market. There's almost two open jobs for every unemployed worker, and employers are holding on to people longer. The level of employer dismissals is at near some of the lowest levels on record, and you see that reflected in the unemployment claims. The number of continuing economic claims or continuing unemployment claims is the lowest in more than 50 years, despite the fact that the labor force is now twice the size as it was back then. So, I mean, it just really puts it in context that employers are hanging on to people, particularly in jobs that they know are difficult to fill. So as we get the employment report for May, we'll see job growth, but I think we should prepare for, and this will probably be the shift toward, a slower pace of job growth. We've had 12 consecutive months of more than 400,000 jobs being added. That's going to slow, just as economic growth is slowing. So I think something in the neighborhood of 300,000 is probably more likely this time around, but shouldn't in and of itself be a reason for concern.
Now, you bring up an interesting point here with the numbers as hot as they've been. Is this kind of what the economy needs, like a little less on the job creation front?
Without saying as much, that's really what the Fed is trying to do. They're trying to slow the economy. They've pointed to the fact that there are two open jobs for every unemployed worker, and with the idea of bringing that back into balance. In their view, it's they can cool demand enough that it slows hiring, and you don't have that big gap and a lot of the inflation pressures that come along with it. Time will tell. I mean, I think the real risk is slowing the economy too much, and to the point where we end up with a recession, and then it's not a matter of job growth, but it's a matter of job losses. That's the scenario the Fed wants to avoid, and that's probably a 2023 risk, much more so than a risk this year. I think the strong underpinnings of the labor market certainly bode well for the economy this year, even at a slower pace of growth.
We're speaking with Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. We're previewing the May jobs report. Also, touch on the labor force participation rate these days.
Yeah, we still have fewer people participating in the labor market now than we did prior to the pandemic. And a lot of that is because they're on the sidelines. They're not currently looking for work. And that can be for a variety of reasons. It can be some that retired early and may or may not come back. It can also be due to pandemic reasons. Those haven't gone away completely either. So, whether it's caring for relatives or just not wanting to be in a position where you're going to be potentially exposed, a lot of workers still on the sidelines, about 1.2 million. And getting those folks back into this very strong labor market is one of the goals, to get that labor force back to where it had been pre-pandemic. That progress has been pretty slow, and it actually took a step back in April. So that's going to be a key ingredient, particularly when we talk about more open jobs than unemployed people. Getting more potential workers off the sidelines and into the labor force can also help close that gap.
All right. Finish up, if you would, just kind of generally speaking, we see this wage growth. It's been highly publicized, but it's been hurt by inflation, obviously. Is there ever a scenario in which the worker comes out great and there's just wage growth but not this kind of inflation?
Yeah, we've seen the type of robust wage gains that we haven't seen in decades. Unfortunately, it's also come at a time of inflation that we haven't seen in decades. And for a lot of households, those rising expenses are eating up whatever pay increases may have come along.
Thanks, Greg. Greg McBride, Chief Financial Analyst at Bankrate.com. Coming up next, hacks for donuts and hash browns. High interest debt can put you into a financial hole, and a lot of people are too embarrassed to ask for help. That's where Upstart comes in. Upstart can help you get one fixed monthly payment with a clear payoff date, whether it's for paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses. You can even receive funds in as fast as one business day, from $1,000 to $50,000. And checking your rate at Upstart has to be the easiest process ever invented. The questions are simple, the drop-down boxes are user-friendly, and the application took less than 5 minutes. In addition, all your responses are encrypted and do not affect your credit score, so you have complete security and privacy. Don't wait. Check your rate today at upstart.com/Gordon. That's upstart.com/Gordon to check your rate today. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Again, upstart.com/Gordon.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's Friday, which is as good a time as any to talk about some food hacks. Let's start with donuts, since today is National Donut Day. Now, you could grab any number of free donuts available from one of the popular chains, or you could try this at-home hack that purports to let you make donuts in your air fryer. The recipe, posted by Texas TikTokers Courtney and Carly, starts with a package of Pillsbury Grand's Flaky Layers biscuit dough. You'll also need powdered sugar, milk, and sprinkles. You start by cutting a hole in the center of your biscuit rounds, then cook them at 350 degrees for 3 minutes, flip, and then another 3 minutes. Once the donuts cool, pour over your homemade icing and add sprinkles. The recipe was so popular online that it was tested by a Yahoo video producer who said that while it was very easy to make, the donuts were only a 2 out of 5 for taste, with the biscuit dough ultimately being a poor substitute for the real thing.
Okay, broadly speaking, I don't understand why these things are referred to as hacks, because your next story is about hacks that are not hacks.
Right.
So this one is like, I don't have any other ingredients. Let me make a donut.
Right.
Hack.
Yes. That's pretty much
it. I guess that moderately qualifies, but I feel like the term these days.
I think it's easier. I think it's what it is, because you already have the biscuit dough is already formed. All you got to do is cut a hole in the middle.
Right.
You know, you're not sort of putting together a donut the traditional way, which could take a little more time. At home especially.
Right.
So a little more effort. So I think that's why these are considered hacks, because they're super easy, and it involves the air fryer, and everything involving the air fryer is a hack these days, right? It's because we bought these air fryers. They're sitting on our kitchen counter, and we want to find something we can do with them.
Yeah.
Right. So there's more things we can find to do with the air fryer, the better. It makes us feel good as people.
I guess. Okay. So the air fryer is the ultimate hack machine, is what we have.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So many things you can do with that air fryer that's just sitting there. And if fried potatoes are more your thing than fried dough, there's another so-called hack that's been going around to help you take your McDonald's hash browns to the next level. It's been touted by the MASH channel on YouTube, and they claim that until recently, it was an industry secret, Gordon. They say that you can order your hash browns well done, and that goes for ordering in person or even through one of those self-service kiosks or the McDonald's app. MASH claims that you'll get a game-changing crispiness that you never knew you needed. Other suggested hash brown hacks including putting it directly on your Egg McMuffin or combining two hash browns and fries with a Big Mac for what's called a Big McCarb Mac.
Nice.
Though they warn it could be tough to take a bite out of that one with all the potatoes, making it almost too tall to eat.
Okay. So again, I'll go back to these things are considered hacks by people under the age of 19.
Right, sure. That's
essentially what happens.
Well, they're always on YouTube or TikTok.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been putting hash browns on my Egg McMuffin since 1978. like this is not a hack.
Yes.
This is just people who stepped outside to sniff some fresh air for the first time in a couple of months.
Yeah.
Under the age of 19.
I feel like you and I are a wealth of hacks that we just haven't put out there in the world. We could have our own channel for these kind of things.
I can't believe what's considered a hack. Or you and I can go on for 2 hours about things we consider hacks, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Mike.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for spending time with us. In a period where everything is more expensive, how about a handful of examples of tech that may save you money? They're from Mark Saltzman at USA Today. One, booking a hotel. His two favorite apps, Hotels.com and Pruvo. The rewards program at Hotels.com includes a stay 10 nights and get the next one free deal. Pruvo, on the other hand, can help you find a better price on your hotel after you've booked it. Number two, have an old gadget lying around? There are free apps that can turn it into a different and useful household device. For example, an app called Presence can turn on an old iPhone or can turn an old iPhone, iPad, or Android device into a Wi-Fi surveillance cam. He says sign into Presence on your new phone and you can see what's going on at home when you're not there. And to avoid fees for streaming services like Netflix, try ad-supported video on demand. They include Vudu, Tubi, Roku Channel, and IMDb TV, as well as YouTube, Crackle, and Popcorn Flicks. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Exclaiming, enough, enough. President Biden last night delivered an impassioned address to the nation, imploring Congress to take action against gun violence. After mass shootings, he said it turned schools, supermarkets, and other everyday places into killing fields.
According to new data just released by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, guns are the number one killer of children in the United States of America. The number one killer. More than car accidents. More than cancer.
Biden repeated calls to restore a ban on the sale of assault-style weapons and high-capacity magazines.
Number two.
A gunman who killed his surgeon and three other people at a Tulsa medical office blamed the doctor for his continuing pain after a recent back operation and bought an AR-style rifle just hours before the rampage. Tulsa Police Chief Wendell Franklin says Dr. Preston Phillips was killed, along with Dr. Stephanie Hewson, receptionist Amanda Glenn, and visitor William Love.
We have also found a letter on the suspect which made it clear that he came in with the intent to kill Dr. Phillips and anyone who got in his way.
The shooter was identified as a 45-year-old man from Muskogee.
Number three.
A convicted murderer on the run since escaping a prison bus after stabbing its driver last month was shot dead by law enforcement last night after he killed a family of five and stole their truck from a rural weekend cabin. Jason Clark of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice says 46-year-old Gonzalo Lopez was killed in Jordanton.
We are very saddened that the murders happened, but I will tell you that we are breathing a sigh of relief that Lopez will not be able to hurt anyone else.
Lopez was killed about 220 miles southeast of Centerville, where he had earlier killed the family. In a first for medicine, a surgeon has successfully implanted an outer ear developed and 3D printed in a lab. 3D Biotherapeutics says a 20-year-old woman who was born with a congenital disorder and had one misshapen ear received the new appendage in March. The ear was constructed from her own cells as a mirror replica of her other ear. It's the first time that 3D printed tissue has been implanted into a human body.
Wow. I sort of understand what's happening there.
But it's amazing.
Sure is. Thank you, Jen.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with expertise and tools with Windows 11 to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. To do more with a Latitude laptop, Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for Business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Colorado mom was crushed when her 12-year-old son Brody came home from school last week with only a few signatures in his yearbook. In fact, the sixth grader wrote in his own yearbook, "Hope you make some more friends." His yearbook was signed by only two classmates, two teachers, and himself. Brody attends the Academy of Charter Schools in Westminster, a public pre-K through 12 school. Mom says he struggled socially and has been repeatedly bullied. She said most classmates said no. to signing his yearbook. She shared a photo of her son's yearbook note in a private Facebook group for parents at the school, while upperclassmen responded right away. An impromptu initiative spread through the school, and the day after the yearbooks were distributed, a swarm of older students filled into Brody's classroom, ready to sign his yearbook and take pictures with him. He collected more than 100 signatures in his yearbook and messages of support. He's also got some phone numbers, and he received a gift bag. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.